Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Isaiah, the 28th chapter. Page 736 in your Schofield Bible. Chapter 28, beginning with verse 14. And reading through verse 19. We'll read these verses responsively. The 16th verse is the text verse. Isaiah chapter 28, verses 14 through 19, page 736. Let's stand, please, for the reading of this passage. Wherefore hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men that rule this people which is in Jerusalem. Because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at argument. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us, for we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet, and the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters shall overflow the hiding place, and your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then ye shall be trodden down by it. From the time that it goeth forth, it shall take you. For morning by morning shall it pass over, by day and by night, and it shall be a vexation only to understand the report. Let's pray. Father, there are, of course, as many needs here as there are people. And, of course, also, the need is too great for any human being to meet without your help. And so we pray, dear Holy Spirit, that you'd certainly be with us as listeners, our preacher as he preaches. We pray for thy power. May it be evidenced in some very special way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our Heavenly Father, we come now to the preaching of the Word of God. Thank you for this beautiful, beautiful passage tonight, to which I'll call the people's attention. Speak to our hearts. Help us to rejoice in Jesus tonight. In His name, amen. Take your Bibles and open them again to the book of Isaiah, chapter number 28, verse number 16, which is my text verse tonight. I'm going to read it and then ask you to keep your Bibles open. We're going to look back at that verse several times during the sermon tonight. Page 737, Isaiah 28, verse number 16. Look at it with me and I'll read aloud. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. And that make haste is a sort of a little colloquialism or a term they used to use concerning not be ashamed or not run off, get scared and run. He shall that believeth shall not make haste. Now, Father, bless the message tonight to our hearts, please. Amen. Jesus is often mentioned as a rock or a stone. We sing, Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. The little boys and girls sing, The wise man built his house upon the rock. And we sing, How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in His excellent word. We sing, On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. I dare not trust the sweet refrain, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. The Bible often mentions our Savior as being a rock. You're acquainted with that wonderful statement in Matthew 16, verse 18, where Jesus said, Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Now, the word Peter means a little crumble, a little pebble, sort of stuck together by mud. You squeeze it and it'll all crumble. He said, thou art a little bitty crumbly rock, but upon this big rock I'll build my church. What is that big rock he's talking about? It was just what Peter said. Jesus asked the question, whom say men that I am? And so they said, well, some say you're Elijah, come back. And some say you're Jeremiah the prophet. And he said, but whom say ye that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, thou art a little rock, but on this big boulder you just mentioned a while ago, Christ, I'll build my church. He's not talking about the Pope there. That's the silliest thing in the whole world. The Pope's a little crumbled rock. But Jesus is the rock of ages. And he's saying, thou art Peter. You're just a little bitty rock, a little piece of, a little bit of dirt stuck together with some moisture. But he said, upon this impregnable rock, this everlasting rock, the rock that Jesus is the Son of God, I will build my church. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11, it says, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So he's called our foundation. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 20, our Savior is called the chief cornerstone. In 1 Peter 2, 6, he's called the precious cornerstone. There's an amazing story. I love to preach about it in Daniel chapter 2, verses 45 and following. It tells about a big image. And that image had a head that was made of gold. And that had a breast and arms made of silver. And a belly and thighs made of brass and legs of iron and feet of iron and clay. And Daniel was asked to interpret the dream of that image. And Daniel said, those are the five world empires. The Babylonian Empire, that's the head of gold. And then the breast and arms of silver, that's the Media-Persia Empire. And then the belly and thighs of brass, that's the Grecian Empire. And then the legs of iron, that's the Roman Empire. And then the feet of iron and clay, that's the empire at the end time, when Jesus, just before Jesus comes. But then he says, all of a sudden, after you've had the the gold, the silver, and the brass, and the iron and the clay, all of a sudden, it said, I saw a rock cut out without hands come and break in pieces all of this image. And that rock is Jesus when he comes again in the clouds of glory, when all the empires of this world will crumble, and an empire shall be established where Jesus shall live and reign from Mount Zion, and righteousness shall prevail for 1,000 years on the face of the earth. Jesus is that rock, and the sixth world empire is when Jesus reigns from Mount Zion. Then there's another wonderful story in Exodus chapter 17 that deals with our Savior being a rock. The Amalekites were fighting against the people of God. Moses held his hands up, and whenever his hands were held up, the battle was won. But his hands got heavy, and his hands were lowered, and the battle was lost. When he got strength enough to hold his hands up again, the battle was won. When his strength failed, the battle was lost as his hands were returned to his side. God simply said to Aaron and Hur, two fine men, he said, you get by Moses' side, and you hold up Moses' hands. So Aaron got on this side, and Hur got on this side. Him got on this side, and Hur got on this side. And him and Hur held up his hands. These two men held up his hands. But there's something there that people do not notice, and that is Moses had to sit on a rock. As long as Moses was standing on that rock, and as long as the people of God were holding up his hands, the battle was won. Now, there's a lesson there. I'm just parenthesizing here. As long as this preacher stands on this rock, and as long as you hold his hands up, there's no enemy in the world can defeat a church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Moses was on the rock, and brother, on Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. I believe the word that I hold in my hand right now contains the very words of God. I believe these words have been preserved for us, and every word in this very Bible I have right here right now are the preserved words of God for us. And as long as I stand on this book, and as long as I stand on Jesus and the gospel of salvation by nothing but Jesus on that rock, and as long as God's people hold up the hands of God's man, all the hordes of hell cannot defeat the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I
Isaiah, as he often did, looked down through his telescope of prophecy and saw the future. In Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, he saw the virgin birth of Jesus. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and following, he saw the life of Jesus. He saw the kingdom of Christ when Christ rules on the earth. He saw the birth of Christ. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And it talks about it. Now, he also saw something else. As he looked down through his telescope of prophecy, he saw something and tells us about it in Isaiah 28, verse 16. Here's what he said. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone. I want you to notice that, a stone. Now, what is that stone? As Isaiah looked down and saw this stone, what was this stone? This stone was Jesus Christ. He was talking about a foundation, a cornerstone. Back in those days, they had cornerstones that averaged about 38 feet in length and over 100 tons in weight. And I'm sure that Isaiah was looking at the foundation of God's house and of giant buildings in those days and saw those 38 feet long cornerstones and saw those over 100 tons of cornerstone. And he said, Jesus is that cornerstone. I'm saying this. You can build your salvation on that, on Christ, the rock. You can build your salvation on that. Build your salvation on the priest, and it'll crumble, and you'll die and go to hell someday. And I was thinking about this. Why don't you reporters put your pens down and stop and realize you've got to go to heaven or hell yourself someday? Why don't you stop and realize that if you don't get born again, you're going to burn the fires of hell? But you say, Brother Hiles, I've been to college. Don't confess your sins to me. Confess them at the altar to God. But you say, I'm educated. If you are not a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, you're on your way to hell. I said to hell. I don't care what college you've been to. I don't care how much training you've had. I don't care how much education you've had. I don't care how liberal you are. You've got one choice of two, Jesus or hell. That's all. That's all. And this blessed book, oh, you say, I don't believe that book. This book has stood the test of time. Kings have tried to destroy it. Hitler tried to make it history. Russia has tried to destroy it, but the Word of God still stands. Voltaire said, the day will come in my lifetime when there will be no more Bibles. They used the printing press that he used to print that garbage to print Bibles. And someday, bless God, during the millennium, when I'm running this town, during the millennium, we'll use the Hammondized printing presses to print gospel tracts and Bibles. I'll guarantee you that. You listen to me. You're not big enough to stand up against the eternal Word of God. This Word has stood the test against Nazis, and this Word has stood the test against communists, and this Word has stood the test against the Madeleine Murray O'Hare. My Bible says the Word of God endureth forever. You can build your salvation on this blessed old book and the Christ of this book. You build your salvation on a confessional booth, and it'll crumble, and you'll die and go to hell someday. You build your salvation on the sacraments. I don't care what they are. The seven sacraments, they'll crumble, and you'll die and go to hell someday. You can build your salvation on the baptismal pool or baptism, and it'll crumble, and you'll die and go to hell someday. You can build your salvation on confirmation as a child. I don't care if all the family comes and cries while your little water is sprinkled on your little brow. I don't care if it's as cute and sweet as it can be and everybody takes pictures. You got a godmother and a fairy godmother. And I don't care what you've got. Let me tell you something right now. If you go to heaven, you've got to get born again. I said, if you go to heaven, you've got to get born again. It is not your church. It is not your denomination. It is not your baptism. It is not your communion. It's Jesus. The rock of ages cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. I'm building on the rock. Thank God tonight for the rock. And Isaiah looked down to the telescope of prophecy and he said, I see a foundation. I see a rock. You can build your salvation on good works and that'll crumble one of these days like a pebble and you will die and go to hell. You can build your salvation on church membership. You can join the Catholic Church. You can join the Presbyterian Church. You can go to the Lutheran Church. You can go to the Baptist Church. You can go to the Methodist Church. You can go to the Reformed Church. And then go to Hell's Church. Because the truth is, it is not the church. It is not the communion. It is not the sacrament. It is not the baptism. It is not the religion. It is not the denomination. It's not your good works. It's Jesus. That's you saying, Brother House. I'm educated. Educated folks can burn just like uneducated folks can burn. On that night, when the Passover lamb came over, and God had told Moses on the 10th day of that month, He said, you tell the Israelites to choose on the first month, the 10th day of that month, you tell them to choose a lamb. And you keep that lamb up and watch it for 4 days till April the 14th day of the first month. And you be sure it's a male lamb and without blemish. And then you take that lamb and you offer that lamb. And then you take a hyssop weed, which you can find most anywhere, and you put that in the blood. And you take the blood of that lamb and sprinkle that on the lintels and the doorpost of the house. And the death angel passes over. Why, I know human nature. I know what some people said. I don't believe all that old fundamentalist garbage. Their firstborn died the next morning, too. Somebody said, well, I'm a pretty good religious person. I'm just not a fundamentalist. You don't have to be a fundamentalist to go to heaven, but you've got to trust Jesus to go to heaven, I guarantee you. Somebody said, well, yeah, Moses. I never have liked Moses anyway. I read some things in the paper about him. And I've never liked Moses. Like him or not! Everybody who did not apply that blood of that innocent lamb, that perfect lamb on the doorpost and lintels of their house, when the death angel passed through that night, the firstborn was taken. And a lot of people thought they were hot shots until they realized that God is still God. Thank God for the stone. The stone. Isaiah said, there is a stone. Build it on the priest, it'll crumble. Build it on confession, it'll crumble. Build it on baptism, it'll crumble. Build it on good works, it'll crumble. Build it on sacraments, it'll crumble. Build it on confirmation, it'll crumble. Build it on church membership, it'll crumble. Build it on religion, it'll crumble. Build it on the Pope, it'll crumble. That'd be a pretty good statement to make putting the Hammond time. Why don't you tell them Howell said it's Jesus or hell? Why don't you tell really what's going on here at First Baptist Church? Jesus said to Nicodemus, who was a teacher of the law, he said to Nicodemus, marvel not that I say unto you, ye must be born again. Ye must be born again. You can build your salvation on Jesus and it'll stand. You can build your church on Jesus and it'll stand. Upon this rock, what rock? The rock that Jesus is God's Son. I will build my church. See, I didn't build this church. Jesus did. And He got a building permit from heaven. And He said, upon this rock I'll build my church. What rock? You build a church on Jesus Christ and bless your little pea-picking heart. For 30 years I've stood behind this pulpit and the message has been Jesus and Jesus only. And you build your church on that. Jesus said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against that church. You mark it down. First Baptist Church of Hammond will stand. When there's no Hammond times, First Baptist Church of Hammond will still stand. When there's no Vic Nischik and no Robert L. Sumner, First Baptist Church of Hammond will still stand. On this rock, Jesus, I'll build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You build your church on this, and that's why this old church downtown will stand and will not crumble. You can build your school on this rock. You can build your home on this rock. You can build your marriage on this rock. You can build your business on this rock. You can build your life on this rock. Look at Isaiah 28:16 again. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone. Then he says, number two, a tried stone. Oh, I love that. A tried stone. This is no test stone. This tried stone. This stone was tried in the flood of Noah's day and stood. This stone was tried in the furnace of fire for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and it stood. This stone was tried in the fire and the fight of Moses' day. It was tried in the Red Sea, and this stone stood. This stone was tried in the catacombs when Christian people fled down to the burial places beneath the ground in the dungeons of the catacombs of Rome. It was tried, but it stood. It's a tried stone. This stone was tried by martyrs who gave their lives. This stone was tried by those on the floor of the Colosseum when they would have great crowds of people. I'm talking about 60, 70, 80, 100,000 people around the grandstands chanting, "Bring on the Christians, bring on the Christians, bring on the Christians," down in the end zone of that Colosseum, which looks much like one of our football bowls today, the Cotton Bowl, Orange Bowl, Sugar Bowl, Rose Bowl. Down in the end zone, a few little Christians were down there, born again, blood-washed people of God. And down in this end, there were some lions that had been left without food for several days. They were hungry. And the chant started, "Bring on the Christians, bring 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 on the Christians." And across that great Colosseum, 100,000 people maybe, in one great chant, "Bring on the Christians." And bread they'd bring those little fundamentalist Christians that were considered somewhat nitwits and nuts and narrow-minded cranks and odd kind of people. I'd not rather be an odd person in heaven than a normal guy in hell. I'd rather study my ABCs in heaven than Greek and Hebrew in hell. I'd rather ride a kitty car to heaven than ride a jet plane to hell. And they brought those Christian people toward the middle of the field, and they brought those lions out. And the chant got louder, "Bring on the Christians, bring on the Christians." They did. Then the chant, "Open the doors, open the doors, open the doors, open the doors." And they opened those doors, and the Christians got in a little huddle and did sing some song of God. If there was today, it'd be something like "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saves a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see." And then the lions would be let loose on those Christians that go to heaven singing the songs of God. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. This book, this stone, was tried with Daniel when he was in the lion's den. This stone was tried when Abraham left the Ur of the Chaldees to look for a city with vast foundations whose builder and ruler is God. This stone was tried when Jacob had placed that little ark in the bulrushes with the little boy Moses in that little ark when he was a baby. This stone was tried when the people of God were castigated and hated and attacked. This stone was tried. Let me tell you something. God's people, God's blood-washed people, have proved this old stone will work. Isaiah said, I see a stone, a sure foundation, a stone. Second, he said, a tried stone. Look at verse number 16 again. "Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone." Number two, he said, a tried stone. Number three, he said, a precious cornerstone. That word precious means costly. Somebody said, "Brother Hiles, is salvation really free?" No, Salvation's not free. Doesn't cost you anything. You don't pay for it to get it, but bless God, it was not free. The greatest price ever paid for anything in this world's history was the price for your salvation and for mine. A precious cornerstone. Isaiah looked down and saw Jesus as a virgin-born Son of God. In Isaiah 7:14, Isaiah 9:6, he saw His birth. He saw His millennial reign on earth, the government being upon His shoulders. He looked down in chapter 28 in verse 16, and he said, "I see Jesus as the foundation. I see Him as a stone. I see Him as a stone on which you can build your salvation, which you can build your church, on which you can build your home, on which you can build your business, on which you can build your marriage, on which you can build your life." And then he said, not only is He a stone, He is a tried stone. This is no new Christianity. And by the way, Hammond Times reporters, little gal gets out of college, she'll be home making brownies, and she decides she's going to become a reporter. And all of a sudden, she becomes an expert on what a cult is. Well, how many courses have you ever taken, baby, on what a cult is? You sat in some heathen leftist college, pink old college, heard some professors talk about a cult, and to you, a blood-washed, born-again believer who has the love of God in his soul on his way to heaven, sins forgiven, belongs to a cult. No, sir. We belong to the Church of Jesus Christ. That's what we belong to. You don't know what a cult is. You haven't got the foggiest idea what a cult is. This is no cult. This is the tried, proven, tested plan of God for His work. And He says a precious stone. Precious stone. I was on an airplane the other day. Lady had a bunch of jewelry on. I looked over and I said, "You got some pretty jewelry." She said, "Do you own any precious stones?" I said, "No, but one owns me." She said, "What?" I said, "The most precious stone owns me." Ah, precious stone. Most precious stone. Most costly stone. Precious. Cost Jesus His heavenly home. What price did He pay to become the foundation of our salvation? He paid the price of His heavenly home. Broken fellowship with the Father. Laying aside angelic host. Laying aside His robe of deity and placing upon Him a robe of flesh. Laying aside His royalty in the glory land to become a peasant on a gory world. What did it cost? It cost Him being hated and despised of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. What did it cost? It cost Him being excommunicated from His own synagogue when He stood to preach His first sermon in Luke chapter 4. What did it cost? It cost Him being hated by His own race, rejected by His own city, turned aside by His own people, and hated by His own creation. What did it cost? It cost Him 33 homesick years away from heaven, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, despised and rejected of men. What did this foundation cost? It cost Him going to Pilate's hall and being wrongly tried and accused. What did it cost? It cost Him being declared guilty when He was innocent. What did it cost? It cost the cat of nine tails beating Him across the back 39 times till Isaiah said His body was so marred you could not even tell His body was that of a human being at all. What did it cost? It cost Him laying the cross on His back and carrying that cross up the hill until He bent beneath the load of Calvary's cross and another had to come and bear His cross up the hill. What did it cost? They took the cross that was on Him and placed Him upon that cross and drove nails in His hands and nails in His feet and cast a spear in His side and placed a crown of thorns upon His brow and a mock robe of barred soldier's overcoat upon His body and a barred walking stick for a scepter and a bunch of cheering, angry enemies and subjects say, "This is the King of the Jews." And they put a sign across Him. The glorious Son of God. The perfect, sinless Savior of the world. The holy, blameless King of kings and God of gods and Lord of lords was rejected and hated and crucified. What did it cost? It cost Him taking your sins and mine and having those sins charged against Him and going to the cross and becoming sin for us. And dipping His own soul in the torments of hell and paying the penalty for sin and for you and for me. Hallelujah, bless God. A precious stone. Costly stone. Isaiah looked down and said, "I see a foundation." He said in verse 16, look at it again. "Therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone." Number two, He said, the tried stone. Number three, He said, a precious stone. And He said, a sure foundation. 2 Timothy 2:19 says, "The foundation of God standeth sure." One of these days, you've got to die. And the only foundation that will stand sure when you face your God is Jesus Christ. One of these days, you've got to face your God and look Him square in the eye. And the only foundation that's going to stand is Jesus Christ. We got a bunch of pinko professors in these secular universities around the country that are trying to... We're the intelligentsia. Who said you were? You said you were. That's all you are. You and some other nuts. I mean, other intelligentsia said you were. My Bible says that wisdom beginneth right there. Right there. Pride. Idolatry. Listen, You folks that don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God, you folks that don't believe this book, you're as idolatrous as a Hottentot in some remote place somewhere, worshiping a piece of wood or worshiping a piece of stone. You're as much an idolater as a little lady that takes her baby and throws that baby in the Nile River and makes a human sacrifice to the Nile River. You're making your own God. The only difference in you, they make their God with their hands and you make your God with your mind. But Jesus is the true and the living God. On Christ is your only hope for heaven. One of these days, you'll point a bloody finger out of hell, and you'll point that finger at me, but you can't accuse me for not warning you. No, you can't. No, you can't. Who are you to say there's no God? Who are you to deny this book? Who are you? Oh, you say, Brother House, I can't believe that man was created just like that. I think he used to be a monkey. Well, you are pretty good proof of it. You know what you do believe? You know what you do believe? You believe that there was once a little protoplasm sort of flopping around. Once there was an amoeba beginning to begin. Then it was a fish with my tail tucked in. Then it was a monkey hanging from a tree. Now I'm a professor with a PhD. You know what you do believe? You know what your scholars say? Your scholars say this little protoplasm was flopping around here. Sort of like rock music dancers. And one day, this is the intelligentsia. This is what's called the modern educators. One day, this little protoplasm got a wart. That wart got infected. And so this little protoplasm started scratching that wart on the ground. And it caused it to get more infected, and it grew. It became a leg. I guess that leg had 5 warts on it. It became toes. And there was a second little wart that came on. I've had 2 little warts bothering me for a long time. Second little wart came along. And that little wart got infected. Now, isn't it strange that both those warts happened to be side by side on the bottom of the protoplasm? Can you imagine what would happen if one of those warts had been on top and one on bottom? Brother, just give me the old story that there's a God in heaven that created man. And then there was a freckle. There's a freckle that came on. And that freckle started looking toward the sun. It became an eye. Did you ever stop and think what would happen if that freckle had been on the foot? Look me square in the toe, fella. Yeah. Then there was another freckle. It became another eye. There's nobody in this world as ignorant as self-styled educators. I was on an airplane flying out west. There's this bum beside me. Shoes hadn't been shined since the flood. Hair hadn't been washed since the flood. I said, "What kind of business are you in?" He said, "I'm a professor at Bucknell University." I said, "Figures." I said, "Have you ever trusted Jesus?" He said, "I think you don't misunderstood. I'm a professor at Bucknell University." I said, "Yes, maybe you misunderstood. I said, have you ever trusted Jesus?" He said, "No, I know all about that stuff. I don't believe it." "Oh," I said, "you do know all about it, huh?" "Oh, yes." I said, "It's very interesting. Have you ever read the Bible through? Oh, he said many times. I said, all of it? Yes, sir. I said, every book? He said, yes, sir. I said, did you ever read the book of Paul? Oh, he said many times. I just reeling him in, you know. Did you ever read the book of Hezekiah? He said, I know that book as well as you do. And that's right. I said, you ever read the book of Jerusalem? He said, I've read it all. I've read the book of Paul, the book of Jerusalem, the book of Hezekiah, and all of it. And I said, you imposter. I said, you're just like all the liberals. You claim to have read the book of God. You have not read the book of God. I said, you're not doing your homework. You require your students to do research. You haven't done any research. You've gotten up and ignorantly and blindly declared that the Bible is not the Word of God. You don't know anything about the Bible. Let me tell you something, brother. You take this book out of this country, and this country crumbles. And you take God's people out of the world, brother, and the great tribulation period is going to start. The government on which this nation was built was taken from the old Justinian Code, which was taken from the Word of God. Jesus said, or Isaiah said, looked down and saw Jesus. He said, I see through the telescope of prophecy, I see a stone. Isaiah, what else do you see? What else? Tell me what you see. He said, I see a tried stone. One that's been tested and tried through time. What else do you see? I see a precious stone. Most costly stone ever was, a precious stone. What else do you see, Isaiah? He said, I see a sure foundation stone. I see a stone. I see a tried stone. I see a precious stone. I see a sure stone. What does that mean? That means, brother, you can get up on top of this rock and say, I know I'm saved. A sure stone. You have to say, I think, I hope, I wish, I might, I maybe am. No, you can say, I know that I know that I know that I know that I'm a child of God. Why? I'm not trusting my goodness. I'm trusting the stone. Trusting Jesus, the rock. It's a sure stone. I know tonight, as sure as I know, that I'm standing behind this pulpit. In the Lamb's Book of Life, the name Jack Hiles is written. Brother, I'll guarantee you, when I get to heaven, there'll be a big sign up there. It'll say, more Hiles. More Hiles. Got a bunch of Hiles up here already. Now, more Hiles is on the way. I know! How do you know? I'm on the stone. Say, you must think you live a pretty good life. No, sir, I'm on the rock. I'm on the rock. On the stone. Sure stone. You couldn't give me enough money to take 1 minute and chance my salvation. If you said to me, I'll give you $100 million tonight if you'll just lose your salvation for 60 seconds, I wouldn't take it because I might die during those 60 seconds. You don't have to hope that you're saved. You can know that you're saved. You don't have to wish that you're saved. You can know that you're saved. Martin Luther was calling up those what they call the sacred steps in Rome. He'd crawl up those steps, and we've been there, and many of you have been there. He'd stop on a step, and he'd confess his sins and was doing penance, and crawl up to the next step and do penance. And all of a sudden, the Scripture hit him, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Every step that he crawled to, he heard those words, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Martin Luther got off the so-called sacred stairs and said, the just shall live by faith. What am I doing on these stupid steps anyhow? I'll stand up and I'll trust him, not myself, on Christ. My salvation will hinge and not on my penance and my good works. Look at the verse again. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation. What a stone. Precious stone, Jesus. What else? A tried stone. Tested and proved. What else? A precious stone. Most costly and most pricely, the costliest in the world. What else? A sure foundation. But now, how do you get on that stone? Look at the next three words. He that believeth. He that believeth. How do you get on that stone? Just jump up there and say, I believe it'll hold me up. That's the way you do it. Yeah. You say, Brother Howes, what if I decide to jump off? You can't, because it's got glue on it. And by the way, you get on that stone, he makes you a new creature. And brother, a new creature don't want to get off. You want to stay on. He that believeth. Look at it again. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone. Number two, a tried stone. Number three, a precious cornerstone. Number four, a sure stone or a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. What does it mean? He that believeth won't have to run. He that believeth won't be ashamed. He that believeth, when he stands before God, he won't be afraid. When I stand before God, He'll ask me, I'm sure, what kind of life did you live? And I'll say, I fell short many times. I tried to live right, but I made mistakes. But did you get baptized? Yes, I did, but didn't trust it to save me. Did you take communion? Yeah, I did, but didn't trust it to get me up to heaven. But what did you trust? I'll look at those nail-scarred hands and say, that's what I trusted. That's what I trusted. I trusted you, Jesus. He'll say, you said the passwords. You said the passwords. There will not be one single person in heaven who trusts His church to get him there. There'll not be one single person in heaven who trusts His good works to get him there. There'll not be one single person in heaven who trusts El Papa in Aroma to get him there. Not one. Not one single person will be there that trusts that pool to get him there. Not one single person will be there that trusts the denomination to get him there. Only people that will not be ashamed when they stand before God are those who come by faith to Jesus and say, Jesus, I am a sinner and I know I'm a sinner. And I know I don't deserve to go to heaven. There's nothing I can do to earn it. But thank God you went to the cross and paid my penalty for me and rose for my justification. Jesus, if you'll just let me up, or I'm getting on that stone. I'm trusting you. I'm believing. And from that moment forward, you'll never be ashamed. Now, that's the stone. But there's something else I'm going to say in closing, and that is that stone is not all there is to it. It's all there is to salvation. But we're supposed to build on that foundation. Our getting to heaven will be determined on whether or not we're on the rock, on the stone. Our conditions and our rewards in heaven will be determined by what we do of building on that stone. There are four things you can do about this stone. You can first refuse it and die and go to hell. Or you can accept it and never build and go to heaven and be saved, as 1 Corinthians says, so as by fire. Or you can accept it and build and blow it and destroy your life and tear down what was built there. Or you can accept this salvation by grace through faith and realize you're going to heaven by being on the rock. And then you can give your life to Jesus Christ and build on that foundation a life of fruitfulness and usefulness for God. I'll tell you a little story I told in a sermon here one Sunday morning several years ago. I was in Salisbury, Maryland, preaching. The pastor let me use a car. I was driving down the street, just driving around one day, going out to the woods, spend some time with God. I stopped at a stoplight, and I saw something over here on my left, across the street. Street going this way. I was stopped, stoplight right over there. I saw something. I saw two foundations to houses. No house, no wood, nothing, just concrete foundation. But there was a difference. One of those houses had charred fire remains on it. It was obvious that that house had been burned to the ground, except the foundation. Bless God, you didn't burn the foundation. You can lose your reward, but you can't lose your salvation. I mean, they can tear down the roof, but the devil can't get to the foundation. He can tear down a wall, but he can't get to the foundation. He can tear the windows out, but he can't get to the foundation. Take the cabinets out, but he can't get to the foundation. Foundation withstood the fire, but you could tell there was once a... And you could see the places where the rooms had been laid out. Right next to it was a
another foundation. And that foundation obviously had been poured thinking that they could get a loan or get some money, and they couldn't get it. It never had walls. It never had people live on that foundation. The foundation did not have the charred fire look. So here's a foundation over here that once it had people walking on it. Once it had walls and ceilings and roof and windows and doors and furniture. It once provided warmth for people from the cold. It once provided a place for people to love. It once provided a place for people to rest and eat and live and be free from the elements. Over here on the other side was a house that never had done anything. I heard that house that never had done anything start criticizing that house. I heard that house that never had had any walls criticizing, oh, he blew it, didn't he? He blew it. You can't blow it, Buster. You ain't got nothing to blow. I 10,000 times, brother, to have served God and blown it, and to have never had a house at all. I've been to 5 different cities lately where at least one preacher came to me and told me what Dave Hiles had meant to him. 5 different preachers told me that Dave Hiles had preached the sermon where they were called to preach. What am I saying? I'm saying you do nothing crowd haven't got the right to criticize folks that have maybe had a wall knocked down. Here's this foundation over here. Say, yeah, you got burned down, didn't you? Well, at least I had something to burn. But then there was, up beside that, a vacant lot. And beside that vacant lot was a beautiful home. And I said, there it is right there. There's the Christian life. There's the 4 things you can do with a rock. You can refuse it and just be a vacant lot. That's those that are not saved, have no ground, no foundation. Or you can trust it and do nothing but criticize people who tried to do something and maybe had made some mistakes. Or you can build on it and be careless and cause it to be torn down. Or bless God, you can get on the foundation and build on it and build on it and build on it until you get to heaven. Not only will you receive eternal life, everlasting life, but you'll also receive your full reward. Where are you tonight? I'll tell you something. I haven't been to Salisbury since then. Next time I go, I'm going to look up those houses. I'm going to predict something. I'm going to predict that there's going to be a house rebuilt where that was burned. It may not be as nice as it was, but I'll guarantee you, I predict I'm going to see a house there. So tonight, if your walls have been burned, start building again. If tonight you're here and you're on the foundation but doing nothing for God, build. Build. If you're here tonight and you've never trusted Christ, Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in Thee. That's what you need. You come to the rock. Wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The children have it right. The wise man built his house upon the rock, and the rains came tumbling down. The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up, and the house on the rock stood firm. Foolish man built his house upon the sand. Pope. Foolish man built his house upon the sand. denomination. Foolish man built his house upon the sand, sacraments, and the rains came tumbling down. Rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. And the house on the sand went splash! The kids have got it right. Exactly right. Let us pray.